So I'm going to bring in now the issue of side effects and toxicity, and then we'll start looking at how it kind of plays out in these different cancers. But Maha, this is kind of a weird question I thought about last year. I never thought about it until I got the four groups together. But here's a statement. You tell me whether you agree or disagree, Maha. Patients with germline BRCA mutations who get a PARP inhibitor have more cytopenias than those without BRCA mutations, often require a dose adjustment. And I think sort of underlying this also is really kind of the mechanism of how PARP inhibitors really work, because I think the answer to this question would be that there's not more toxicity seen BRCA germline. Maha, can you comment on that?
I am going to choose the answer of I don't know yet.
Oh,
and
okay.
I have to say, because
well, that's a good one.
Well, remember, we're sort of the new kid on the block in prostate cancer. So clearly, I think there are variations in different potential disease settings, different tumors. But I should say in PROFOUND, we do have some data on germline. So I think this would be a very good point to look at. As far as I can tell, there is not a clear glaring signal at this moment. And from my experience with my patients, I don't see that there's a signal one way or another at this moment.
Hope, I was really bringing this point up also in terms of sort of the mechanism and the biology and the fact that you need another hit in order to get toxicity. Maybe you can comment on that.
You know, I think I have to agree with Maha. I agree with you. It seems like you should see differential toxicity if you have a germline BRCA mutation or not, or even a somatic mutation, because, you know, you really have one area where you can't repair DNA, you're blocking the other, so you would see more systemic toxicity of all sorts that are related to repairing DNA. And we think about bone marrow toxicity, of course, the cells are being made very rapidly and can be destroyed. It takes a little while to recover them. But what's interesting is I don't know that we've really seen that. And I don't know, certainly in breast cancer, we don't have a lot of patients who've been treated who don't have germline mutations with which to look at. But in those small number of patients, we really have not seen a standout of different toxicity, even though it would make sense theoretically, which is common in medicine. What makes sense to us theoretically doesn't often pan out in the clinic. You know, the people who don't have BRCA mutations, we're giving them chemo, right? We're talking about veliparib. There may be something about a weak PARP inhibitor where it enhances the effect of chemotherapy in patients who have homologous recombination defects, but you're not going to see that benefit in patients with germline mutations. In that group, even that group, we're not really clear that there's a differential hematologic toxicity.
So thinking about the old days when we used to get together physically and actually have meetings and we do poll questions, I used to always love it when we put up a question and say, what do you do? And we'd see five different things and you know that everybody was in agree. I love the answers to this one though. This question, 25% agree, 25% disagree, and 50% don't know. So that's perfect. But I don't think we're going to find, I don't think we'll find that level of disagreement with this next question. And Ursula, which is, you know, in the beginning, we started to hear a lot about one PARP inhibitor does one thing, one does the other. The more I started to listen to you all talk, the more I started to hear, you know, that these are really class effects. So anyhow, Ursula, we put this question together to see what the audience, whether there's a consensus. This one looks like we're going to get a little more consensus, but the statement is that GI side effects and cytopenias are class effects of PARP inhibitors. But the frequency varies among available agents. I think clearly gynecologic oncologists and gynecologic oncology has had the greatest experience with this at this point. Ursula, what are your comments and thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with the audience. They said agree. GI side effects, fatigue, pancytopenia are all class effects of PARP inhibitors. And each drug has different different sort of toxicities, sort of frequency of toxicities in each of those categories. So if there's a patient who, for example, has significant nausea, vomiting on one drug, you could potentially switch over to another because I do think that they have very similar efficacy, at least the three that we use in ovarian cancer. Some of that side effects, such as certainly nausea. Some GI effects should get better with time. And study 19, we looked at this, and you know, over a month or two being on the drug, these side effects tend to get better. Fatigue is going to be an issue for patients, and then cytopenias clearly have to be monitored very closely. You know, the FDA package inserts have clear specifications about how to monitor patients, how frequently a complete blood count should be obtained.
So I hope I was actually interviewing your nurse earlier today for a nursing program. She was presenting a case that I guess she shared with you. This patient went back and forth between olaparib and talazoparib. He kept having problems with both. Can you comment a little bit at this point, Hope, on what your experience is with these two agents, and particularly from the point of view of tolerability, what you're seeing?
You know, again, these are anecdotes in many ways, and we have the cross-trial comparisons, of course, which are limited as well in different patient populations. So I think that, you know, what we understand is we're seeing issues with anemia. Thrombocytopenia is much less common with olaparib and talazoparib than it might be with potentially niraparib. But of course, that depends somewhat on the previous treatment that patients have received. You know, we really, although I see highlighted here the liver enzyme elevation, we don't really see that in clinical practice. I think that what's limiting to us are the anemia, some degree fatigue, nausea, and headache, interestingly. So some patients really are plagued with headache, although it's a smaller percentage of patients. And those are really the toxicities we deal with. I talk to patients a lot about managing this and using preventive medications. For example, we use olanzapine a lot at bedtime, the antipsychotic, which is now in the NCCN guidelines for nausea. And that works out well because you can take it at bedtime and it lasts the whole day. We use dose reductions. The particular patient that my nurse practitioner was talking about also has childhood, you know, type 1 diabetes. And I don't know what role it played, but she really had significant anemia after completing radiation for metastatic disease. Dose reduced, still had a lot of anemia, went on olaparib. The anemia went away. She started throwing up. So then eventually we went back to the talazoparib a long time afterwards, and she took the talazoparib without the same degree of anemia. So I don't know. You know, this is, again, I was interested about Ursula talking about adjusting to toxicity, and some people do and some people don't.
So it's interesting you mentioned headache. I never heard about headache as a side effect until I heard about acalabrutinib, the BTK inhibitor, where for some reason caffeine makes it go. But everybody says the same thing. I don't know if it was in a trial, but they all say the same thing. Philip, one more comment, and we're going to start going through the various cancers in terms of toxicity, what you see with pancreatic cancer, and particularly whether or not you see more problems with GI toxicity. You know, I wonder if some of these things have to do with the setting that's occurring. We know that pancreatic cancer patients have a lot of intra-abdominal problems. They already have GI symptoms. Philip, how do the PARP inhibitors work in that setting? I kind of actually heard that they don't really cause a huge problem.
That has been our experience for sure. Whether we're really prepared for GI side effects because of the type of the subspecialty we're in, that's a very likely possibility. Or it could be that we may not be treating them as long as the others are doing. But certainly in GI, in pancreatic cancer, we are seeing not much of a dose limiting or limiting toxicities attributed to the GI tract. I agree.